It's a real pleasure for me to be able to witness that and to be on a journey that finished very recently with Dawn and with many other people through Disciple. I'm pleased that she was able to share that with all of us, even though she's not even on the continent right now. Let's turn to the scripture for this evening. It comes from the first book of Kings, chapter 19, verses 9 through 13. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, saying, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." He said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Now there was a great wind, so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of sheer silence. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. The word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Dear Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you this day, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Well, my name is Eric Sayers, and I usually introduce myself as the pastor's wife. So let me start by saying that you may be a little surprised to see me standing up here. I'm usually over at that contraption, which has all the white and black keys, or I'm maybe on a riser or something like that. So why am I here? Because it's Disciple Weekend. And Disciple is this small group Bible study that usually starts in September, runs through June. And there's a tradition here at Glenmar that when the class is over, the participants will then plan and lead worship services for the weekend where we can share about what we learned about God and about one another. And indeed, that's happening now and tomorrow at 9:30. Here's the really amazing thing. We actually had a disciple class this year on Zoom. And during this crazy year, it was a leap of faith. So here I am taking another leap of faith to give you a brief witness to my disciple experience this year, this most unusual of years. And this idea, this leap of faith, kept recurring to me because it reminded me of many conversations I have been having with Pastor Don Burgard, who co-facilitated the group with me and became a real spiritual mentor for me over these past 8 months. We met often outside of class, on Zoom or on the phone, to plan, to reflect, and review how the group was faring. And this idea, this leap of faith, kept recurring because neither of us, both having led many disciple groups in the past, had no idea how this was going to work online. We really had no idea. Who would even want to participate under these circumstances? It was very much like standing on the edge of a cliff with nothing out there but mist. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, saying, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." You remember the story, right? Elijah had just had one of his most momentous successes in his prophetic career, defeating 400 prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. You remember, this is the story with the two altars. You know, while the prophets of Baal spent all day praying and dancing and doing whatever it is they do, all to no effect, Elijah's God our God, brought down so much fire on his altar that it not only consumed the bull, but the whole altar itself. In the aftermath, several things happened, including the death of all of those prophets of Baal. Now, this made Jezebel, who was the queen and a Baal worshiper, very upset. So upset that she threatened to kill Elijah, who fled into the desert toward Mount Horeb, or Mount Sinai, the mountain of God. And that's where we pick up the story. In a way, it was a leap of faith for Elijah, throwing himself into God's hands to protect him from the likes of Jezebel, to figure out what to do next when he saw no way forward at all. And God provided an angel, food that sustained him on his journey to the mountain. So that is the part of the story that resonated with me, the way I felt at the prospect of doing a disciple group on Zoom. Without any personal contact, without tables or whiteboards or snacks or hugs or handshakes, without squeeze prayers and spontaneous laughter and tears and real human contact that is so central to these groups. You know, see, disciple is not a class. It's a covenant group that depends on mutual sharing between group members, discussions, working and questioning together, growing together, learning together. Was it possible to achieve this kind of sharing, this vulnerability, the true honesty and openness that develops in these groups through a screen? On an unstable internet connection? You know, when people go in breakout rooms, they vanish. I can't see them or hear them. I can't make sure everyone's doing okay like I can if it was an in-person class. Google had nothing helpful to say on the subject, for once. Look, for most people, committing to disciple is a leap of faith even in normal times. I mean, reading the Bible on your own 30 minutes a day, going to a two-hour session every week, it's about 8 hours a week for 32 weeks. Who would do that? No one has the patience anymore for that, right? And on Zoom, are you crazy? Now, there was a great wind so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of sheer silence. Then there came a voice to him that said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" You know, there was a time when I didn't really understand the Holy Spirit. Just didn't get it. Like, God the Father, the Creator, seems simple enough. I mean, it's God, the supreme being, the Creator of the universe. And Jesus, relatively direct, right? He was there, he spoke. We have parables, we have sermons, actual words that he said that you can read. But the Spirit, wind, breath, fire. But that was all before I became involved in small group ministry. So let me just briefly say what happened in this disciple class. And here's my little exercise for all of you. See if you can listen for all the ways the Spirit was at work. We advertised. 24 people signed up. We were hoping for 12. After the first few sessions, we had 19 folks. And those 19 folks stayed all the way to the end for 32 weeks. Attendance was so faithful that there was only one session when we had less than 16 people. And they just didn't sit there on Zoom. They did the reading. They engaged. They asked questions. They discussed. They debated. People joined from their vacations. They joined from their cars. They joined from every conceivable room in their house. We struggled as parents and teachers through the academic year on Zoom. We lost friends. We lost family. We became new grandparents. We started new jobs and learned of bad diagnoses. We survived a presidential election and political unrest with people on both sides. We waited and waited for a vaccine and gradually got vaccinated, all in the hope of a return. And we prayed together and we laughed and we questioned. There were flashes of insight, new awareness of our lack of awareness, the right word spoken at the right time, seeing Jesus in one another as we got to know one another better. And this really persistent thing where something, a sermon, the music, a scripture reading, a baptism, something that happened in worship was intersecting what we were doing in class that very day. It got to the point that several times the group was convinced that Mandy and I were conspiring together to make all these convergences happen. There were just too many for it to be coincidental. None of it was planned. So how'd you do? See anything? That's how I originally learned about the Holy Spirit. When I first became involved in small group ministry some now 30 years ago, not from a book, not even really from the Bible, not from a lecture or a class or anything like that, but by watching the Spirit work. Happens all the time in these groups and in many, many areas of ministry. The Spirit shows up and the wise person gets out of the way and lets it move. The final session of Disciple typically is a retreat, a five-hour, very Wesleyan, very Christian experience where members of the group identify spiritual gifts in one another. And again, Don and I were very concerned about whether this would work at all. But as it happened, the vaccinations progressed, the church reopened, so that this final session happened in person in the chapel. It was an amazing experience. It's the first time the group actually met together in person. People saw each other for the first time. And the conversation and the sharing flowed to such an extent that it ripped through my lesson plan and left it as tattered debris on the floor. Typical, really. People shared things they'd never shared before. Spiritual gifts emerged, some surprising, some very much not surprising. And Don celebrated communion with bread in little baggies with cartoon characters on them, because that's all the store had. Disciple happened, just like it always does. Something like Dr. Seuss's Whoville on Christmas morning. No, we didn't have all the normal trappings. For 8 months, we were little passport pictures on a screen. Sometimes just a few, sometimes all 18. And we had our voices, and we had the Word, and we had the Spirit, that still small voice, and it was enough. It is always enough. The Spirit came just the same. Oh, and did I tell you the one about Don's wireless network? Don't think he'll mind, after all. He's a preacher, and he should know better than anyone else that if you spend enough time with someone else who might preach, you might become part of a sermon illustration. I'm married to a preacher. Let's just say I have some experience on this point. Don really doesn't like computers. He'd much rather do ministry without them. And the wireless signal in his house was not that strong. So you can imagine how excited he was about doing Disciple on Zoom. There was a time when he was wandering around his house trying to see the right place where his wireless signal would be strong enough. Guess when his community upgraded his wireless network? Yep, a couple weeks ago, just after our last Zoom class. Don't tell me God doesn't have a sense of humor. Don't. See, now you're ready for the next time. When there was even a time when all of us wondered if there would ever be a next time. What are you doing here, Elijah? He answered, I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away. Then the Lord said to him, go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael as king over Aram. You shall anoint Jehu as king over Israel. And you shall anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, as prophet in your place. Talk about a next time. Perhaps the leap of faith for Elijah was not going into the desert and up the mountain, but coming down the mountain, back down to the Jezebels, back down to his enemies, back down to the messiness of the real world, with a mission to anoint kings who were not Ahab and Jezebel, and prophets to succeed him to carry on his work and ministry. And so he did. For Elijah, it was not the wind. It was not the earthquake. It was not even the fire. It was the still, small voice, and it was enough. So what about all of you? You know, at Glenmar, we believe that the Holy Spirit bestows gifts on everyone to be used in ministry. Maybe you're feeling a little nudge to be part of a small group experience. That just might be the Holy Spirit doing its thing. There are so many opportunities at Glenmar, and they're not all 32 weeks long, I'm happy to say. Some are 4 weeks, some are six, some are eight. There are more than 20 growth groups. We'll be starting new groups in the fall, including Disciple, but several others also. If you'd like to try it out, let me know. Let any of the pastors know. We'd be happy to talk to you. There is a place for you in a small group at Glenmar, and I'm so thankful to be part of a church community that values making disciples. It's our mission. So for the moment, disciple is over. Now, ministry begins. And if we learned anything during this crazy year, it may just have been that that little, still, small voice was enough. The Spirit had this all along. It always has, and it always will. Thanks be to God. Amen.